Musukua has been called Cambodia's fearless heroine. As a member of parliament and the Minister of Women's Affairs, she has campaigned for land rights and for laws against domestic violence and sex trafficking. Some years ago, she mobilized 1,200 women to run for provincial offices, and 900 of them were elected. In 2004, after she resigned from her government post in protest against government corruption, she was arrested and charged with defaming the Prime Minister. In 2009, she was convicted, and in October of that year, the Court of Appeals upheld that conviction. Sakua was sentenced to pay a fine, but has refused, saying she would rather serve a jail sentence. Preeti Shekhar caught up with Musukua on a recent visit to Berkeley, where she received a master's in social work in 1981.
My trouble in case in the court began when I took the Prime Minister to court, the Prime Minister of Cambodia, Mr. Hun Sen, because he called me by a name that should not and cannot be accepted in any society. As member of parliament, I demand respect. And therefore, I took the Prime Minister of Cambodia to court. He took me to court as well. And on the same day, he sued my lawyer, and then the Cambodian Bar Association put pressure on my lawyer to drop my case. My lawyer would have been disbarred had he not dropped my case. I went to court on my own without legal representation. I asked for a fair trial, and the principle of fair trial is to be able to have legal representation, which is to have a lawyer, and to be trialed by a competent court. There's no way we can call Cambodia court, the Cambodian judiciary, free and fair for all. It is very corrupt, and it is functioning under the pressure of the Prime Minister himself. I lost my case at the lower court in July of 2009. I went an appeal. I lost in November of 2009. And then just recently, on April 7, 2010, the Supreme Court was going to put my case on trial. I asked for postponement because I am now in the United States talking to civil society in the United States and visiting as well as fundraising for the women's cause. I was amazed that the Supreme Court accepted my request for postponement of the trial on April 7. If the Supreme Court of Cambodia had not granted me postponement and had trialed me in absentia, I think it would have been a political loss for the government of Cambodia. I think the Supreme Court granted me postponement just so that they can gain time. So therefore, I am still going to have to be called by the Supreme Court, and for sure I will be found guilty. And as I said before, I will not pay a dime. I have been found guilty by the lower court and the appeal court. I have been fined $4,000. I'm not going to pay a dime because I have not committed any crime. I have no guilt. I have committed no sin. The only crime that I have committed is to have served and to continue to serve my constituents by upholding their human rights.
When you go back next week, you're facing arrest and you're not going to pay the fine, so you're going to jail. What do you anticipate is going to happen after? And is there any way that our listeners who are probably horrified hearing this update, there's very little media coverage, as you know, about what's going on generally in many parts of the world and specifically on issues like this. So how can our listeners possibly support you as they listen to and learn of this horrible case against you?
By going to jail, I would like to send a signal, and the signal is already very well received by the people of Cambodia. We live so much in fear after the years of genocide. We continue to live in fear because the government of Cambodia has been ruled by one man for almost 30 years, and we have to get out of this level of fear. So by going to jail is this to say that enough is enough. This is the end of putting our heads down. Let's stand up against any forms of threats and any forms of violations of our human rights. In Cambodia, people are already looking at this case as a full, as justice already won. I am very certain that there will be a mass movement to get me out of jail before I serve my full term, which can be up to 3 years. For the listeners in the United States and especially in the Berkeley Bay and the Bay Area, I would like you to please write to the Congress, write to the State Department, write to President Obama and say, democracy in Cambodia is really a sham. Why are the Democrats in Cambodia sent to jail? Please ask your government to be critical and to call on the government of Cambodia to release political prisoners in Cambodia, especially villagers who have fought for the rights to own land but are now being jailed, to challenge your government, especially to stop all forms of aid to the military in Cambodia and to engage your government in the preparation for free and fair elections, which is the elections in 2012 and in 2013.
And just to follow up on that, can you give us a sense of how much aid the U.S. provides to the Cambodian military?
The U.S. government provides over $6 million to the government of Cambodia to support the military per year. The military in Cambodia, the officers and the high-ranking officials are involved in deforestation, are involved in forced evictions of the poor people in Cambodia or the villages, and they're involved in land grabbing.
Could you speak to some of your current projects? You mentioned you just started a new radio project.
Yes. As I said before, I am very involved in bringing voices to those who don't have a voice, especially the poor, especially the women in the rural areas who do not know how to read and write, and they represent in some areas over 60% of the communities. The radio program that we just started is called Women's Voices, Women's Choices. And why do we have a special radio program for in Cambodia for women? It's because, as I said before, we are moving toward the 2012, which is the elections at the local level, and the 2013, which is parliamentary elections. Women's Voices, Women's Choices is a one-hour radio program every Sunday, which is to not just give women a time to listen to the radio, but is to for women in Cambodia who can only have access to real information through radio by keeping them alert, by informing them on situation about on especially their rights, and then on providing them real lives, stories, real solutions. And it's the format is very simple. We have women who are victims of domestic violence, victims of land grabbing, and so on. But at the same time, right in front of the victims, we have women who have survived and who have used the law, who are empowered, so that between the dialogues between the women, we can find solutions. And these solutions are solutions, real solutions by women. And we have women listeners taking action by calling the radio program and then have conversations with the guests. It is very important that we give women a chance and the opportunity to bring up their voices and so that they can make their choices. And that is the meaning of Women's Voices, Women's Choices. And in addition to just listening to the radio program, we have women at the grassroots level who have been trained by the different organizations which I'm part of. And they organize women around the radio program when it is on. And promote these leaders, encourage the women who are listeners to be active listeners by making a phone call to the guests of the show. And this is a really taking action, because women who are not empowered listen but don't listen critically. They listen passively because they continue to consider themselves as victims and as powerless. By organizing women around the radio program it is really helping the women to find the courage to make that phone call. And this is organizing the women and to put the issue that really affects the lives of women, such as land grabbing, corruption, healthcare, education, on air, so that those issues become part of choices that people would make when election times come.
Sounds like this is a really feminist show. How is the government letting you get away with it?
We have been very fortunate that the women's movement in Cambodia, especially we have cross generations, the young women, workers, as well as intellectuals who sit together and say enough is enough. We don't want to continue to live in fear, because fear, as I said before, fear is not an option for us. If we live in fear, we will not help. We cannot help rebuild Cambodia. That is exactly what the ruling party wants us to live in, which is to live in fear. Therefore, we break that silence. The program was launched on the 8th of March. The first day, the first hour, we had so many phone calls that we had to stop the guests from talking, because we had to bring the voices of women who were listening, who continue to listen to the show, and so that they can express themselves. So we have even mobilized enough funding for the full year, because first we thought that it would not be a show that people, especially women, would want to listen to. We even have men call in. And so I think that it is really hitting the right issues. We continue to hope that we can bring in women from the very remote areas in Cambodia.
Preeti Shekhar spoke with Musa Kua, one of Cambodia's leading human rights and gender activists.